I want to bid a hearty welcome to all those visiting this morning. To those of you who, you know what, you come out here every Sunday, praise God for that. I want to give a hearty welcome to you also today. I want to praise my Lord and Savior this morning for the opportunity to be in His house on this day in 2015. Amen? Amen. Easter Sunday. And I'll tell you what, it's such importance. The world out there can't understand it. But praise God, I know that you that know the Lord and Savior, your Jesus Christ, know what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. Praise God. We are the people of Easter. Amen? Amen? Praise God this morning. I am so thankful. I'm going to be in Luke, the 23rd chapter. You know, our Lord and Savior had many, many last sayings upon the cross. And you know what? I want to talk a little bit this morning about famous last words. And I'm going to talk about one of them that Jesus said on the cross this morning. I'll tell you, there's nobody, I mean, I can't say this, I'm sure, but I know how I am when it comes down to trying to letting the Lord lead and guide me and direct me in what sermon He wants me to preach, especially for holidays. I'm going to tell you what, I have problems with that sometimes for whatever reason. You know, you think you should be, hey, this is Christmas, you should be great. This is Thanksgiving, I'm not like that. And these people know around here sometimes, I won't even stay on topic sometimes. But that's okay, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do that, but I want to talk about last words of a dying person. And you know what? Let us have a word of prayer before I get going on this. Father, I want to thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be here this morning. I want to thank You, Father, for Your love. I want to thank You for Your mercy. I want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that died upon that cross that we could have salvation. And Father, I pray, Lord, and thank You this morning and praise You. Lord, you know what? That it's free to all men and women everywhere. And as the song said, all we have to do is ask. All we have to do. And I pray, Father, this morning that You would open up the hearts here this morning. Open up the minds the way that You would have it, Lord. I ask You, Lord, that You would get me completely out of the way this morning. I pray, Father, that You would use the words that are said here this morning. Use the Scripture for Your glory and for Your honor. And amen. Amen. The last words of a dying person are normally never forgotten. Do you know that? Most of those last words, I've heard Paul talk about his dad's talking about his last days, and I could go into a lot of others. You could probably think of their last days and their last words are normally never forgotten. You know, some enter eternity with these sayings out there. No matter what, you know, what they say, they enter eternity, whatever they say. While others will say things that disclose, they will disclose their values, their priorities, and they will disclose their innermost thoughts. Whenever they have these last words at their last dying breath. I tell you, I looked up some of these, and before I get into the gist of the sermon, but you know what? I don't know who all in here knows who Joan Crawford was. She was an actress, and maybe I've even said this here before. But on her deathbed, she was racked with cancer. And on her deathbed, her dying last words were, you know, because she had a maid who was praying for her out loud, was praying for her because she was dying. And her last word says, and she said a cuss word, and she said, "Don't you dare ask God to help me." And that was her last word before she went into eternity. Imagine that. Leonardo da Vinci, one of the greatest artists ever, who did the Mona Lisa, who did the Last Supper. You know what his last words were? He said that, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality that it should." Talk about, listen to the stuff that he did, some of the great artwork that he did. Yet when he left this world, he thought that he did not live up to what God, his ability that God had given him. And there was another one, a General John Sedgwick, who fought in the Civil War. And as these snipers were firing at him, and it says his men were running for cover. And he was one of these types that would stand out and be bold and brave, and he would stand up, and he stood out there, and his famous last words were this. He said, "They couldn't hit an elephant at this dist." And someone shot him dead before he could finish it. He said that he couldn't shoot an elephant at this distance is what he wanted to say. But you know what? He died before he got the last words out. You know what? He died and hit the ground right there. Listen to me. Listen. You know, no one's words could ever, though, match what I'm about to read to you this morning. Can you believe that? Significance of what I'm about to read. Jesus' last words, what also revealed his value, revealed his priority, it revealed his innermost thoughts. I'm going to be in Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. If you want to read along with me. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you get that? You know what? Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. When Jesus looked down from that cross and looked at those people who had mocked him, who had spit on him, and those who slapped him and struck him in the face as he walked by, when Jesus saw those who had pulled his beard out, as when they had beat him and had jammed that crown of thorns down upon his head. And you know what? And when he looked down from that cross, he didn't look down and shout obscenities to them, did he? You notice that? He didn't reach down and blaspheme God. He didn't look down upon them and curse the Roman soldiers. He didn't sit there and just curse the Jewish leadership that had put him there and the people who passed by and mocked him. People, you know, with the scripture, we know all the scripture. It said that they passed by and mocked him. Even those malefactors, even those thieves who were hanging on the cross beside him, when it first started, if you read in Matthew 27:44, both started to berail him. Both of them started to tear into him. You know, later one did repent. Later one of them did repent. He didn't tell them that they were going to pay for what they did. He never said that. You know what? According to Roman historians, get this. They wrote this down, that when most of the people who were crucified died on a cross, they would blaspheme God. They would curse their mothers and fathers. You know that? They would curse anybody around them. They said that the Roman soldiers sometimes would have to take them down off the cross and cut their tongues out to keep them from cursing because they didn't want to hear it. Because they didn't want to hear it. But you know what our Lord and Savior did? You know what Jesus did? He said, but Jesus, our Lord, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what my Savior did. And I'm here to tell you this morning, why do we celebrate Easter morning? Why do we come out here when people say it's a bunch of nonsense? Because I'm telling you this morning, it's not nonsense to me. It's not a bit of nonsense to me. When Jesus came into my heart and saved me, I found out for a truth that Jesus lives. I found out for a truth that the God that I serve is real. And no one, I don't care what they write, I don't care what they want to put in the papers, I don't care what they want to say, will ever make me deny that. Because I serve a risen Savior. Amen. He looked down upon them and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? He could have prayed, Father, consume them. He could have prayed that. Wipe them out. Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father? Listen to what it says here. Listen to that I prayed to my Father and that he would not send, you know what? A child send to me more than 12 legions of angels? Do you know what that is? It's 72,000 angels. 72,000 angels that he could have called. You know what I say all the time? It would have just taken one of them to do the job. It would have just taken one of them to do the job. He could have called 72,000 of them. But you know what? He uttered with the words of grace that he had, and with the last breath that he had, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look around you in this world today. Look around. All the nonsense that you see going on out there today. And you know what? Sometimes we get in utter disgust, don't we not? And we say, God, come now. Destroy this wicked people that we are. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus would look down and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise God this morning. You know, his request was not for himself. His request was for them and for us. Do you know that? When he would look down upon them, he was looking down upon us also. Ron, you know that? I tell you what, one day I didn't deserve anything that I've got today. I didn't deserve his salvation. I didn't deserve the praise that I can give him today. You know why? Because I was wretched. I was just as wretched as those people that pulled his beard out. I was just as wretched as those people that drove the nails. I might as well drove the nails in his hands. Because you know what? You know, the Roman soldiers didn't put him on the cross. The Jewish people didn't put him on the cross. It was the sin of this world that put him on the cross. My sin and your sins, that's what put him on the cross. His first thought is to plead. You know what? But for them, his first thought was to plead in prayer for those who desperately need it. Let me ask you something. How often do you pray for those people that you see on television that we condemn sometimes? How often do you get on your knees at night and pray for them and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Do we do that? I think sometimes we don't. I think sometimes we're real quick to condemn. We're real quick to jump out at them. But we're not real quick to ask God to forgive them. And Lord, put the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. When man had done his worst, Jesus prayed. Amen. Did he not? When man was at his worst, Jesus prayed for them. When he was up on that cross looking down and racked in pain and his life going out of him, he wasn't up there thinking of revenge. He was thinking of them getting saved. Not for just, but for mercy. Praise God. He wasn't praying for justice. He was praying for mercy. Amen. That's what he was doing. The text that we read doesn't do the verse justice. Do you know that? Whenever it says, what it means is that Jesus prayed repeatedly for forgiveness. Do you understand that? It wasn't just a one-time thing on the cross. He prayed over and over and over. If you take the text and follow it out, he prayed repeatedly for these people. And he does it for us today. The Jesus that I serve, you know where he's at right now? He's on the right hand of the Father. Guess what he's doing? Guess what he's doing? He's making intercession for every one of us in here today. He's making intercession for everyone that we see out there in the world today. That there's sometimes that the foolishness that goes on and that disgusts us. He's making intercession, trying to make intercession for them. They're just like the song said, if they are just willing, if they're just willing to accept it. If they're just willing. It just was the time when the crowd cried out, crucify him and let Barabbas go. Guess what? Jesus was praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they beat him unmercifully and shoved that crown of thorns down upon his head, he was crying out and praying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Praying says when the nails tore through his skin. Whenever the pain was jolting through his body, whenever they did that, he was crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they divided up his only earthly possessions that he had. And they did it right in front of him on the cross. Those soldiers did that. And you know what? He was up there not wanting justice, not wanting to have revenge, but he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When the very people that he came to try to understand that he was the Son of God, his own people, whenever they walked by and they railed upon him and mocked him and all the things that they did, and Jesus wasn't up there trying to look down and criticize and tell him, you're going to pay for it. He was saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when they hung that sign above his head and it said, this is King of the Jews, I'm going to tell you something. They did it to mock him, what they did. And you know what? He didn't have none of it. He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. You see what I'm saying? Repeatedly, time after time, when he was on that cross, he was saying, Father, forgive them. And I'm telling you today, this Easter morning, this Sunday morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you stand with Jesus this morning. I am not a soul reader, as I like to say. But God knows where your heart stands this morning. And I'm here to tell you right now, there would be no better day than Easter 2015 to come to know the one that's saying, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. I praise God this morning as Hebrews 7:25, He's still doing it for us. Wherefore He is able also to save to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Don't let nobody tell you that Jesus Christ is not alive today. He's still making intercession for those people that are willing to give everything that they want to give to Jesus. He is still willing this morning to save to the uttermost. Brothers and sisters, He can take someone like me. He can take someone like you and clothe you in a suit of righteousness and make you a worthy subject for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And it says, yea, rather, that is risen again, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When Jesus cried, Father, forgive them, they know what they were doing. He was fulfilling prophecy also. Do you know that? You know what? Back in Isaiah 53:12, it tells us, for he bore the sins of many. And it says he made intercession for the transgressors. You know what I love about the old scripture? When they talk about the crucifixion, and it does talk about it in Psalms, it was so many thousands of years before crucifixion was ever created. Do you know that? That you tell me that that Bible's not real. You tell me that it doesn't mean what it says. They were talking about something that was never, ever created yet. And that was a crucifixion of a humankind. And I'll tell you what they talked about it then, because you know what? Through infinite wisdom, God knew what He was doing. You know, He knew what He was doing. We must not forget that it wasn't the Jews that put Him on there again. I'm telling you, it wasn't the Jews that put Him on. It was us that put Him on that cross. And I'll tell you what, unfortunately, people are still doing it today. You know what? They crucify Him, put Him to an open shame today. Amen? That's what they do. Praise God this morning, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I know Jesus as my Savior. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something else too that He did for us. You know what? There's for some 2,000 years on Mount Calvary, you might as well think it's an over-exaggeration, but I want to tell you something. It is the greatest event that has ever happened to mankind, what happened on that day on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. You may think it's overstated. You may think I'm over-exaggerating. There's nothing that's ever happened in human history that could compare to what He did on the cross that day. Nothing. Not for one moment. His death on the cross, His burial. You know what? At that first Easter morning when He rose from the grave, salvation came to all. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing through human history that can compare. Not a thing that can compare to it. For God so loved the world. Isn't that the greatest scripture ever right there? I tell you what, it could be said every service and it would never be old. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You tell me what tops that. You tell me, you show me what tops that. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing. This is not a fairy tale. There's some out there that like to believe that, you know what, this is a fairy tale. They say that's not true. You know, that Bible is just some work of men, that wrote this up, and it's not true. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not a fairy tale. I tell you, it's not at all. There's some that would say that Jesus was just some great philosopher. They like to tell you that also. Others have said He was just some religious leader. He was the Son of the one true God. Amen? He was the Son of the one true God. The Bible tells us that He was God incarnate. He was God Himself. Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. And you know what? Listen to this. And they said, truly, this was the Son of God. You know what? Those people, those Roman soldiers were hardened men. Those guys right there, they were dealt with death every day. They probably looked over top of I don't know how many crucifixions. I read a thing one time and it said this, that on the day that Jesus died on the cross in the Roman Empire, they crucified 3,000 people that day. So they were used to it. They were used to death. They were used to doing what they do. And you know what? These guys right here, they weren't going to be shaken easily. But whenever all this happened, whenever Jesus Christ would look down and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And whenever the earth shook, whenever the sky got dark and all this had happened, and whenever he died, they had nothing to say but surely this was the Son of God. And if you look at the text on that, that's exactly what they were meaning. This was the Son of God. You know what? Pray God, what could a bunch of hard men like that say, make such a profound statement if it wasn't true? I'm telling you right now, I do not have to go over there to see it, to believe it. I know the tomb's empty. I know that Jesus lives. I know that because he lives within my heart this morning. He lives in my heart this morning. What a difference. What a difference it makes to know Jesus Christ. Amen. What a difference it makes. The man hanging on the cross was asking God to forgive them. Forgiving the unforgivable. Amen. That's what he was doing. You and I have never had anything that God can't forgive. Do you understand that? There's nothing that you have done here this morning that God cannot forgive you of. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, there's so many people put too much on this. Jesus Christ did not die in vain on the cross. He died for all. He died for everyone, and everyone sins here this morning. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to understand that here this morning. If you are here this morning, you know what? If you are saved, you are a sinner, you are a Christian that has been saved by grace. Amen? Some people say that they are sinners saved by grace. You know, if you're saved here this morning, you're a Christian saved by grace. If you're here this morning and you're a sinner that needs to be saved by grace. Amen? That's what you need. That's what you need in your life. The Bible tells you there's only one remedy. In Romans 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. Amen? I want to tell you something else, too. We have great imaginations as human beings. You know that? A fairy that can pay money for a tooth. We have that. A fat man that delivers gifts. We have that. And we've got a rabbit that lays eggs. But those are all empty celebrations. Amen? Those are all empty celebrations. We serve in one that specializes in fulfilling expectations. Amen? We do. And the joy that the world has to offer is just temporary, number one. It's just temporary. It always runs out. The result is always void. And you know what? And it's leftover emptiness is left when the world's done. The best day you'll ever spend in sin is the first day you're there. You understand that? Hebrews 11 talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's what it talks about. I want to tell you something. I'll tell you a couple of stories here. I'm about done. You know, drugs, alcohol, all these things take a hold of people's lives. And they tear them down. All of them do. I had a cousin who died of a drug overdose. She was 20 years old. Me and my wife went to the funeral. And you know what? It was probably the biggest funeral I've ever seen in my life. And probably was. And you know what? She had went to church all of her life. Her parents had taken her to church. Her mom and dad had taken her to church. My aunt and uncle had taken her to church all the time. They took her to church and took their son to church. Both of them. And they were in church all the time. And you know what? She got into drugs. And you know what? That's all it consumed her with drugs. That's all it consumed her. It got a hold of her. And you know what? It ended up taking her life. I work with a man. He's 40 years old. He never seen 50 years old because you know what? He was an alcoholic, and it consumed his life. It ended up in his 40s, destroying his liver, destroying his life, destroying his family. And you know what? Sin, there is pleasure in sin for a season. Like I said, the first day of sin will probably be, you'll enjoy the first day. And what it does when it gets a hold of you, it can take you to depths that you never want to go. It's empty. Empty promises. You know, there always had to be a first time. My cousin, the first time she had to take drugs somewhere along the line. That guy I work with, he had to drink alcohol for the first time somewhere. There's always a first time. And kids, I tell you, and I say this, and I know it may sound like it's a hollow threat or a hollow, but I'm telling you, don't go down that path to begin with. Please! The devil will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. I'm telling you. will take you. But I'll tell you something Jesus gives you. Jesus can give you joy that never ends. He can give you His best from the start. He can do that. And those aren't empty promises. When He said it is finished, His last saying of His last words on the cross, He said it is finished. The work of salvation is complete. It's complete today for you. It's complete today for all those in your family. It's completed. You understand that? There's nothing else to be done. He died upon the cross. His blood He shed for our salvation. And I'll tell you one thing I have found in my life. The longer I go with Him, the better it gets. Old Junior Lowther at church used to say, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder. It keeps getting gooder and gooder. Praise God this morning. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you want a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? If you do, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way. I can't say it anymore. You've got to quit and get yourself. Yourself does not matter anymore when Jesus Christ comes into your life. You'll find out. You'll say, well, how can that be? You know what? You don't have to worry about it. Whenever He comes into your life and the Spirit comes in, He'll take care of that for you. Because what you'll want His life in you. You'll want to do what He wants you to do. As they come and get a song this morning.